All right, next up is Dr. Ingram.
Thank you, John. That's not a distraction at all. Jennifer. Well, we know that we as humans are emitting larger amounts of CO2. We know that the concentration of CO2 in the environment is increasing. And we know that CO2 and other greenhouse gases do contribute, they trap radiant heat. We know that. That's a given. There's a lot of debate upon how fast it's increasing the global temperature, what the impact will be, and where the impact will be. But these are pretty well facts that we must accept. And that's then bases a carbon footprint. We each have a carbon footprint. Each product, each process that we're involved with on a daily basis have a carbon footprint. We can use life cycle assessment, which is a research tool that will systematically account for the diverse environmental impacts and related to the inputs for those input components and processes for a given product or process through its complete life cycle or a portion of that life cycle as we determine. And the rules are set by ISO as well as PASS, so there's internationally recognized guidelines or standards for this work. First thing you want to do is establish a system and define that system, starting with defining the boundaries. PASS 2050 says eliminate from that system the infrastructure, buildings, machinery, the construction and manufacturing of those. And then within the boundaries of the established model that we're looking at, for example, in the red maple here, or red bud, we first of all have seed production, all the inputs and associated with that. We then have a seedling that's transported to another nursery of Atlanta production and a lot of inputs and processes, which generates a 1.8 meter, 5 to 6 foot liner that is then transported to a field nursery grown for 3 years with those sets of inputs transported to a market, transported in the landscape, grown for 4 years in the landscape, contributing to the ecoservices of the landscape, and then taken down and disposed. So that is a model system which we're talking about for a range of plant materials. So the first thing you want to do then is inventory that system. I want every material used. I want every chemical used. I want every equipment use delineated. And what that equipment is and what the gallon of diesel it would use with certain load and throttle, etc. So a lot of detail in terms of the inventory, life cycle inventory. Here is the results of three species that we've looked at. Tree species, 2-inch caliper, field-grown material. We see that the liner contributes very little to the overall production. Again, I'm trying to find my pointer. Oh, okay. The liner contributes very little to the global warming potential or carbon footprint of the product. In field production, the inputs of the products of fertilizer, chemicals, etc., contribute fairly significantly. The big dog in town is the equipment use and how that then contributes to the individual product. Overhead, electricity, gasoline for the overall nursery operation. And then that product, when it leaves the farm gate, is carrying sequestered carbon with it. And so we'll account for that. Takes quite a bit to transport and transplant those products so that we see a carbon footprint of 10 to 13 kilograms of CO2 per product compared to a Timberland set of pair of boots of about 54 kilograms per product. But the big dog, as I said, is the equipment use, and that's about 70% of the carbon footprint of these field-grown materials. So if we look at that in graphic form, where are we contributing in terms of the global warming potential? Well, it's in the harvest, and it's also in the loading and unloading of that product on the farm. The other aspects here, such as culling and fallow year, that's spread out over, those activities are spread out over the population per acre. The equipment, when it goes through, is spending very little time at each one of those. When you get to harvesting, then you're spending minutes on individual trees and multiple times because you're loading and unloading, et cetera. So we can see why equipment use is greatly related to the carbon footprint. And in the case of this, equipment use and harvesting is a major contributor to the carbon footprint of these trees at the gate. But we know that sustainability relates to environmental carbon footprint that I just talked about, but also the economical aspects of sustainability and social or community, which most economists in here will say market, in terms of looking at the sustainability. So in comes Charlie Hall to apply some of his knowledge on the production system, production costs, to the idea of a carbon footprint. Charlie tells me that 48 to 52% of cost of goods sold is variable cost. Variable costs don't vary that much between nursery. To a degree, yes, but not near as much as the fixed cost, because there's such things as capitalization, different types of insurance, different type of taxes and the like. So it's hard to compare. So we only looked at variable cost, as does most of the work with looking at cost of production. And 35 to 40% of cost of goods sold is labor. I won't go into the detail of this, but I just want you to see that detail is here. And that is, here is the input of the materials, including the Sudex seed for the fallow year, all the way through to the fescue in the middle. The big contributor to the carbon footprint of materials is the cost. To not only the carbon footprint, but the cost in this case. This case is we're looking at labor as well as material cost. The big contributor is the wire basket, as well as the cost of the liner if we were buying that liner into the system. If we look at chemicals, the cost of the chemicals contribute very little to the overall cost of the 2-inch caliper tree. And I'm sure you don't want to look at these details, but I wanted to show you the concept of how much detail we look at this. Load per horsepower, per throttle, per minute, per tree. Those are the level of assessment that we've looked at for not only carbon footprint, but also for the cost. And if you look, bottom line is at harvest is where you have your cost. Because, again, you're looking at individual trees. So if you look graphically at this, the overall cost, the loading and unloading and harvest contributes more than 50% of the cost of the production of that tree. The other larger contributor is the cost of that liner. That would be a 5 to 6 foot branch liner of each of these products. But we see that, you know, the fallow year and the overhead and the culling and even the fertilization and the irrigation contribute, but they are not the major contributors to the cost. And I remind you that this is the graph of the carbon footprint. See how it mirrors. Again, equipment use is a driver for both the economic cost as well as the carbon footprint cost of these materials. Now we have some preliminary data where we looked at something different. Instead of a 2-inch caliper trees, Charlie and I looked at shrubs. In this case, Viburn and Judd I, and this is a preliminary because it's not been reviewed. But if you look at the carbon footprint in this case, of global warming potential of cutting to gate, where's harvest? It's a little sliver right here somewhere. Why? Because they were hand dug. Shrubs were hand dug and trees were spade dug. There are some costs in terms of carbon footprint for loading, but this is where fertilization and fallow year and things take on a higher percentage because those are the areas that where there are equipment use. But again, you're spreading those out over a larger population per acre. And if you look at the cost, then we see that harvest, contract harvest at $3 plus label, is a major cost of that Jedi purchased or out the gate door, at the farm gate door. Now, what that means is there is a high relationship between the variable cost of a field-grown tree and the global warming potential, primarily due to equipment use. That is still true with shrubs, but there's not as much equipment use. And so it is related, but the equipment use goes down for the shrub production compared to field production, so the cost and the global warming potential also come down. One of the beauties about doing any model, like John just mentioned, is the so what's and what ifs. What if we took 4 years to produce a red maple instead of a red bud, instead of 3 years? Then we would increase the carbon footprint by only 4% and the cost by 77 cents. Why? Because most of our costs are up front and at the end. And so one more year in the field is not going to contribute that much. What if we reduced or increased our culls from 10% to 20 to 15%? Then we'll increase our carbon footprint by 9% and about $1.42 a cost per tree. So grower can make some opinions based upon how much they put into that process. Fertilizers reduce it very little. And if you increase your labor by 15%, then you increase your cost by about $3.27. But the big thing is if you decrease the distance it's shipped by a third, then you decrease your carbon footprint by 16% and you decrease your cost by $2.60 per tree. So we're looking at ecosystem services, and there's a whole lot that we can go into that we're not. But bottom line is, if you looked at the carbon footprint, you're talking about a positive contribution in the life cycle of a tree of somewhere between 63 for a small tree to 650 for a red maple. And if you looked at product differentiation, then you want a person that wants to buy a plant because it keeps on giving in terms of contributions to the environment versus something that they could do, or within the comparing nursery to nursery, the differentiation between nursery and nursery, the best places to do that is between equipment use and also distance to market. So buy local for something as heavy as a 2-inch caliper tree. So global warming potential, trees, are they global warming potential remediation machines? Yeah, I kind of think so. We've proven some of that, and now we need to market it. Questions? Yes. I've not heard that conversation between
the crop having to be a 100-year crop or more.
Okay, I can answer that question, but it probably would take a lot longer. Bottom line is, this work was done where we assessed the carbon sequestration during the life cycle of the tree based upon a 100-year accountability period. And so if the 1 kilogram of CO2 was sequestered in year one, the tree lasted 50 years, then they had 50 years of a carbon. If they were sequestered in year 49, they had 1 year versus 50 years. And it was as a portion of 100 years. And that's according to PA, well, it's kind of adjusted from past 2050, where they looked at, they were using this primarily for furniture and things like that. But we saw, well, I could show an improvement over that period of time using the same concept they did.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Dwayne.